Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Hello and welcome to Fearless Generations. This is Terry Sayer. I'm here with my daughter, Kelly Fox, and we'll be discussing tonight our ninth step to freedom, which is intention. And this is one of my favorite tools and strategies for releasing our expectations. So we'll kind of talk about both of those things tonight to get some clarity around the difference between those two strategies or concepts. And so, Kelly, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Great.
Plugging along.
I got to see Kelly this weekend. We had an event here for a longtime friend of ours that we've worked with for probably, well, most of Kelly's life, but ever since she was a little girl, we have been involved in community theater, and one of our friends who we work with in the theater as well as the music teacher for my kids is retiring, so there's been a series of events to celebrate her illustrious career and the impact she's had on a lot of our lives. So Kelly and her family were down this weekend, and I got to spend a little bit of time with them, which I thoroughly enjoy spending time with my daughter, but also especially with my grandchildren. So it was a good connection. So
yes, I was thinking about it. Sorry.
You what?
I was thinking about it, and I have memories of our friend that you're talking about. I have memories of her from the time I was 4 until now. So I have 33 years of memories and, support and connection with her. So it was pretty special to be there.
Yeah, it was. And she's an amazing, giving person who has impacted hundreds of children's and adults' lives. So it was a nice recognition of her impact and her influence. Her sphere of influence certainly is one that's had a ripple effect in our family, for sure. Now she's working on the third generation of people in our family. So it was a great opportunity to be together and just kind of take the opportunity to think about and reflect upon the impact we can have on one another's lives. And I think that's what Kelly and I want to do in terms of why we're coaches, is because we have a passion for sharing ideas and concepts and strategies with other people so that they can impact their lives as well. So there's a correlation there between reflecting upon and being grateful for the impact she's made, and then being grateful for the people that introduced us to Fearless Living, and then in turn grateful for those that we can introduce these concepts and strategies, these steps to freedom as well, to help people impact their lives through the choices that they make. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about and introduce you to the idea of intentions. But I think in order to do that, Kelly, we need to talk about expectations and the difference between expectations and intentions. What do you think?
All right, sounds good.
So if you were going to define and clarify the difference, what would you say?
Well, I was going to pull out my book and look it up, what Rhonda says specifically, but my definition of expectation is anything that I want to happen that is not within my control. So anything outside of myself, something that I can't physically do myself, that's an expectation. The best example that I know that I love to share and you love to share or give me a hard time about is that when I was newly married, I expected my husband to take out the trash, on the days that it needed to be taken out to the street so that it got picked up. because that was something that my dad always did. And so it was something I grew up thinking, oh, okay, that's what the dad does, or the husband, the man of the house, he takes the trash out. He makes sure, you know, makes sure that that happens. There were other expectations that I had as well, but that's one where, you know, there was no conversation. There was no, oh, honey, could you do this? I just expected it. And so when it didn't happen, I would get frustrated. I would get irritated. I would feel like he didn't care about me, or he wasn't taking care of me, or, you know, depending on how dramatic I wanted to go, you know, would be, you know, would depend on, you know, how big it got. But, you know, once we had a conversation about it and I said, okay, this is something that I would really like for you to do because, you know, it would help me and it would, you know, make me feel like you're taking care of us and this is your part in, you know, helping our house be a home or whatever, you know, you want to go into. And now he does it because we had a conversation. So I think that's an expectation. Anytime you feel disappointed, frustrated, irritated, most likely you're an expectation. Intention is when you're doing something or it's almost like you're being. It's something that you've decided, this is how I'm going to be, this is how I'm going to show up, this is how I'm going to experience my life. And regardless of what happens around you, you're able to hold that and stay true to that. That's mm-hmm. how I see an expectation. I mean, mm-hmm. intention.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really clear. I think for me, when we first began exploring possibilities and awareness and just all of these different steps, that when we look at the possibilities that we have, when we see those as opportunities, and then our intentions are focused around that space that you're talking about and opening up for these possibilities, that mm-hmm. when we expect something, we're tied to an outcome, and we expect something to be a certain way, even if it's an expectation of ourselves, then we limit our willingness to be open to possibilities. Because mm-hmm. an expectation just closes that down to one outcome. And being open to possibilities means there's limitless outcomes. And mm-hmm. then we have the space for that. So, like for me, in my journey and my pathway to freedom, one of my expectations of myself was perfectionism. And so when mm-hmm. I was expecting myself to have these outcomes that were perfect, whether it was the way I gave a lesson, the way I looked, the way my kids were dressed, my kids, how neat they looked, how well they behaved, whatever that was, I was tied to this concept of being perfect, which was an expectation I placed upon myself. It wasn't outside of me. It was inside of me. And when I recognized that was limiting, was very limited thinking, and it was not opening me to possibilities, but was tying me to specific outcomes, I recognized that was because of the fear. You know, the fear was what was keeping me doing that, of not being good enough or not being seen as competent or whatever that fear might be. But when I opened myself up to intention, which was being willing to practice and do the best that I could, and that being whatever came from that, then that just opened up the possibilities. And so this step comes after possibilities, because this is really a way to decrease your dependence on self-doubt or your dependence on disappointment and, you know, just this whole idea of being tied to a specific outcome, because that shuts possibilities down. So intentions are really a way to create what we want to focus on, which is growth, or it's being open, or whatever that is that we want to focus on. And I think last month when we were talking about possibilities, that we just were so excited because we had done so many things that were allowing us to have those possibilities. And, I mean, a week ago, Monday, we went skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a possibility that just opened up all kinds of things to us that, you know, we faced our fear. We just had so much joy and not knowing what the outcome was going to be, we just actually jumped out into thin air, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and just went with it when we're open to that. So the intention had to be, I mean, the intention could be that we were open to that possibility. We were willing to face our fear. We were willing to jump out of a plane. And
mm-hmm.
if we had been expecting to be afraid, or we'd been expecting to, you know, it would have been so different. But I just had this free feeling of, man, I am open to this, and I am just so excited to see what it feels like and what I experience. And so I think that's intention. It's going into something just free of that expectation and free of a specific outcome and free of fear. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just, to me, understanding expectations and the difference between expectation and intention was a huge breakthrough for me in my journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with that, what I was thinking of is, like, I had the desire to get back to the ground and everything be okay. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
However, whatever happened while I was in the air, like, I was totally cool with whatever, you know. All I knew is that I was going to jump out of that plane. And however, whatever the experience brought, there was no expectation there. I was totally open to, totally open and prepared for whatever was going to happen once I got out of the plane. You know, but there was a desire to land on the ground and be okay. But I think that sometimes we can get, you know, a little caught up in expectations because it's such a, expectations is such a huge thing. And it's something that you kind of are challenged with, you know, always. But it's just being open to whatever comes and not being so rigid or limited and, small about how your life can be and how you can reach the goals that you want to reach.
Yeah. And I think when we went through our coaching program and we learned about intention, it was that intention is a willingness, and I think that's one of our steps as well, is
mm-hmm.
to have a willingness, an awareness and a willingness, and then a connection to what we want to focus on, and then being willing to practice that again. It's that, for me, it was that freedom to practice instead of saying I expect this. I expect I will do this. I'm willing to practice compassion
mm-hmm.
for myself. I'm willing to practice patience and leaving space for others. I'm willing to practice loving myself and loving others. You know, just being able to say it in that way, saying I'm willing to practice. I'm willing
mm-hmm.
to practice forgiveness. I'm willing to practice, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a feeling, whether it's a concept, whether it's a skill, I'm
mm-hmm.
willing to practice speaking in front of others. My intention is to become more at ease when speaking in groups, whatever it is. It's a lightness. It's a lack of being tied to a specific outcome. It's an energy that's more opening and opens your heart, opens your mind to possibilities. So I think, to me it's really exciting, and it's satisfying to see how these steps integrate and that they build upon each other. And that as we're looking at a new step of intention, we can go back to the very beginning of these of this 9 steps and look at awareness and look at willingness and looking at connection and looking at possibilities and looking at compassion and just going back and being accountable for what we want to focus on. And that mm-hmm. clarity in our focus then allows us to be willing to step out of our comfort zone, be willing to open our heart and our minds to space for other people. It's just, it expands, and our comfort zone encompasses a wider sphere of influence in our lives and then able to touch others' lives as well. So intention to me is really supportive in seeing the possibilities and the willingness to step out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you start writing intentions, Rhonda encourages us to write, "Today I am willing to," and then putting in what it is that you're willing to practice that day. And I think it's really important to set an intention for yourself each day. Look at what you have going on that day. Look at, you know, maybe you might have a stressful situation coming up. Maybe you have doctor's appointments or you have to get the kids here or you have, you know, whatever your day is in front of you. Maybe you have nothing planned and that, you know, kind of brings you down. So look at your day and set that intention that's going to support you for that day. But I think also intentions are really powerful when you set them for, you know, your life. Like one of my intentions that I have, my essential nature is trusting. And so my lifetime intention is I will, today I am willing to trust myself more openly. Sometimes I change the words, but it always involves trust myself. And so, you know, that supports me on a daily basis, but it's something that I'm gonna have, you know, probably my whole life that I tell myself.
Yeah, I have these big overarching intentions as well. My essential nature is compassion for myself, and in my perfectionistic life that I'm recovering from, and my journey is becoming more open and compassionate for myself, is to have compassion for myself in order to have compassion for others. That's what follows. If I can show compassion to myself, then I can more easily show compassion to others as well. And then, mm-hmm. so I'm willing to practice that. I'm willing to practice self-love so that I can be a more loving person and be of more service. And my overarching intention is really tied to my personal values and beliefs. And as a Christian, for me, it's tied to living an exemplary life in terms of emulating the life of Jesus Christ. So for me, that's my overarching intention, is to be more like my personal Savior. Now, for other people, they may have a different, you know, example in their lives, but for me, that's my intention, is to be more Christ-like in dealing in compassion with myself and then for others, and to have charity, mm-hmm. which is the true love of Christ. So that's my big overarching passion and intention. But like today I had, I worked with a client that I'd never worked with before. And so my intention was to be open, to listen, and to ask questions when I was working with that client. To my mm-hmm. intention, that would be the way I would show up. And so that was my intention for that particular scenario and that context. So I, like mm-hmm. you're saying, you can have these overarching intentions that really propel you forward in your goals for long term. And then you can have these short term intentions that keep you focused to being true to yourself so that you can show up how you want to show up, regardless of how the other person shows up. And mm-hmm. so it just becomes a way of thinking. I feel like it becomes a way of thinking and being, like you said early on, it's a way of being true to yourself and being present and being being who you are.
Mhm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that it as you go through this process, as you use these steps, as you read Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, as you work with the coach, whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to start to become to know more about who you are and who you want to be and the kind of life you want to create for yourself. And your intentions are what you use to support yourself along that path. And, you know, when things come up that irritate you or frustrate you or block you from that path, you can say, okay, you can look at that and say, okay, you know, what is my expectation here? And then once you discover what that expectation is, write an intention for it. So, you know, whatever it might be, you can write an intention for it and set that intention to support you through that situation so that it no longer irritates you or irritates you less. And that it no longer blocks you from your path so that you can continue moving on.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is the major exciting part of an intention, because an intention supports you to continue moving forward. So when those blocks come up, if those expectations come up, you know, whatever comes up, you set an intention to support you to move through it, to move around it, to move, you know, to move forward. And so I think that they're pretty powerful. And I think that it's important that when you first start doing intentions, that you actually write them down, that you put them up, like, on your fridge or on your mirror or on your front door, wherever it is where you know you'll see them on a daily basis, so that you're constantly reminded of what those things are that you're working on, that you're wanting to that you're wanting to practice, so that they become part of your being. They become part of your just normal thought and process of action. And so you know, as you continue to, you know, move forward, you might not need some as much as you need others. So add some more. Make new ones, and it's a continual process.
Yeah, for sure. It's a process that you can trust, because when I always know when I'm frustrated, like you were saying, when you're frustrated or you're disappointed or you're irritated, to just say, what am I expecting? That really is helpful to me. What was it that I expected to happen, instead of what am I clear that I want? And and like you said, what do I have control over? And it just helps you to then see, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in expectations. I've got my foot in that world of expectations, and that is not a place where I can support myself in being clear about moving forward in my journey. And it's just a kind of a touch point that really helps me to say that to myself. What was I expecting? Why am I disappointed? And what do I have control over, and how do I get back to what I want and be clear on my intentions? That language is supportive.
I think another thing that we can listen for is the word should. If we are saying, I should do this, I should do that, I should be like this, I should be like that, if we're shoulding ourselves... then most likely we're in expectation. So don't should yourself.
Right. So I should or
you
yourself.
Make a choice.
I need to do that. You know, it's a good thing to say, wait a minute, I could do that. I could choose to do that, but it's not that I should do it or that I need to do it. What is my intention here? Yeah. Yeah, the language of expectation is a good way of checking yourself as well.
Yeah, I think that that's probably like the easiest way to tell when I'm listening to my clients that their expectation is they, oh, I should have this by now. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. All of these shoulds. And I'm like, maybe you're having some expectations. You're holding, you know, yourself a little too high. We're all just practicing. We're all just beginners, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, giving yourself a little bit of a break.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's really important, really important. So, yeah, I think that it's important. If our listeners and our friends that join us on this particular session on intention would really listen this week to themselves and try to identify whether they're able to be in the realm of intentions or whether they're in the realm of expectations by just looking at how they feel and listening to their words, that would help them to clarify what they want and where are they? I mean, what are they moving forward? What might be blocking them? And could it be that they're expecting rather than being intentional in their movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think for our listeners to focus on this week as they think about intention?
Say that again? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, what could we encourage our listeners to do this week to be more clear in understanding how intention movement?
Well, I think definitely be aware of your feelings. You know, do you feel stuck? Are you feeling frustrated or disappointed or powerless? Or, I mean, in the book, I hope everyone's gotten Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton by now. In the expectation chapter, which is chapter 6, she has 50 or so words of expectation that you can see if you feel those words. Go there, see that. Are you feeling those words? And if you are, write those things down so that you can become aware of what those expectations are. And then once you're aware of what they are, you can move into intention. You can set those intentions, and you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a real opportunity to connect with Rhonda's work and intentionally practice writing intentions, practice writing them down. It took me a while to practice those, and I still write them down in my gratitude journal and my acknowledgments. I still write intentions, and I clarify those, and I tweak them, and I work on them because for me they're just so powerful to keep me moving forward. And when I am disappointed or I become irritated, which, you know, in my former life as a perfectionist, that was very frequent. And now I can tell that I seldom feel that way. And when I do, I'm able to identify what is the expectation and then reframe that as an intention. And then I'm able to move forward. So I'm glad you encourage people to look at that chapter in the book. So I think we're just about out of time. So we want to encourage you to do that. And next week we'll look at intentions and really look at in terms of self-doubt and how intentions can decrease the self-doubt that we may be experiencing and allow us to be true to ourselves. So great talking to you, Kelly. Any parting words for our listeners?
Well, I think just continue to increase your awareness around your vocabulary, your feelings, and keep track of it. And please share with us. Share with us on our Facebook page. Share with us on our website, fearlessgenerations.org. And let us know how expectations are affecting you. Ask us for help on how to write an intention. We'll support you. Give us something that's frustrating you, and we'll help you write an intention. We're here to support.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Kelly. I always feel supported after I get a chance to visit with you on these Monday evenings, and I look forward to next week when we'll continue this discussion around the importance of intentions and support and help ourselves and to help each of you to become more able to utilize this tool and strategy in moving forward and being true to yourself. So have a great week, and we will talk to you next Monday. Okay?
Yeah,
love you, Kelly.
Thank you. Love you.